אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Plenty of news today, both in Sydney and Melbourne, but Shane, I will let you choose where to start from.
Hey, we'll start in Sydney today.
Okay.
And a communal leader has questioned, quote, the veil of secrecy at the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies after the Australian newspaper reported on Monday night that CEO Darren Bark, quote, has been put on unexpected leave and is very unlikely to be returning. The Australian reported that major upheaval was underway at the state roof body and that while Bark's employment hasn't been formally terminated, we hear lawyers are involved and that's never a great sign. Australian also claimed that Vic Alhadeff, who was the CEO from 2004 to 2021, had been approached about returning. But Alhadeff told the Jewish News on Tuesday, I have not been offered the role of CEO and there's nothing more to be said about that. The AJN approached the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies for comment on all this, but was told only that Darren Bark is on leave. Now, the communal leader, who spoke on the condition of anonymity, questioned the secrecy around the issue on Tuesday, saying that the community deserves to know what is going on. He said, why aren't things open and transparent at the board? Now, Bark commenced in the role in May 2021 after being headhunted for the job. As CEO, he has overseen the introduction of legislation to ban Nazi symbols in New South Wales, and the Jewish News understands he had been progressing discussions with the New South Wales Parliament about banning the Nazi salute as well. And he's also played major roles in obtaining security funding commitments for faith communities from both sides of politics, and he, under his leadership, he spearheaded town hall-style forums. He was also involved in securing $5 million in funding for the Sydney Jewish Museum. And he also has been instrumental in the formation of the Religious Communities Advisory Council during the term of the previous Premier, Dominic Perrottet.
And that's the former New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies CEO who claims that no job offer was made. And you can read more about it on this week's Sydney edition of the Australian Jewish News, as well as on the AJN website. Moving on to other topics, tell us about the new Jewish Holocaust Museum in Queensland.
Yeah, sure. So we'll move up north to Queensland. And the new Queensland Holocaust Museum, which is the state's first museum to be dedicated to the Shoah, officially opened last Friday, honouring more than 200 Holocaust survivors who have made Queensland their home. The museum was opened by Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk and Minister for Multicultural Affairs Leanne Lynard and Councillor for Central Ward in Brisbane Vicky Howard. Palaszczuk said anti-Semitism is evil, pure and simple. So it's not just a horror of the past. It's still among us today. And that's why we are opening Queensland's first Holocaust Museum and Education Centre. Visitors to the museum will hear first-hand filmed testimonies from Queensland Holocaust survivors who tell their stories about life before, during and after the Holocaust. And the museum also pays tribute to those righteous among the nations who saved Jewish lives. Jason Steinberg, chairman of the Queensland Holocaust Museum Education Centre, said the museum would not have been possible without the support of the Queensland government, from which it received $3.5 million of funding, as well as $500,000 from Brisbane City Council and a federal government commitment of $3.5 million. While the Catholic Archdiocese of Brisbane is providing the space for the museum. So this is wonderful news, and it's one of several Jewish museums around Australia that are either being upgraded or actually opened for the first time. So wonderful news there.
This is wonderful news. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I do not recall any other major locations with Jewish museums or Holocaust centers that are outside New South Wales or Victoria. This will give the opportunity to different communities to access some of our history.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think Adelaide's upgrading theirs one into a full museum, and in Perth they're building a whole new community centre and education and Holocaust museum over there. And yeah, there's also some goings on in smaller regional towns and cities, so it's very good. And I should note also that apart from being physically open, this new museum in Queensland will also have a digital, like online museum as well, and also they'll have a little mobile museum vehicle that will tour around regional Queensland every year to smaller communities. So yeah, there's more. In the old days you had to physically go into a museum and see it, but these days with technology and all these things, it can reach many people around Australia and around the world.
Okay, to other topics now, and some official community visits by some politicians. The Prime Minister was a guest at the Australian-Israel Chamber of Commerce last week. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, sure. So a few snippets about more official visits of note. So Prime Minister Anthony Albanese reinforced his government's commitment to Israel at an Australia-Israel Chamber of Commerce luncheon in Melbourne, where he said the friendship between our two nations has been a constant. He said Australia supports democracy in Israel just as we support it across the world. And he added, the mark of any true friendship is not just our willingness to stand up for each other, but also our candor. And he said, we continue Australia's support for a two-state solution with Israel and Palestine, and the government I lead will take a principled approach to these issues. With Attorney General Mark Gatiss also in attendance, Albanese made his case to the Jewish community at this event about supporting the Indigenous Voice to Parliament, stating, being in Melbourne today, it's appropriate to pay thanks to the Jewish Community Council of Victoria, together with B'nai B'rith and the ARC Centre and Stand Up, for supporting a voice to Parliament. And he reflected that Australia and Jewish history have long been intertwined, and he recounted the milestone protest over Kristallnacht that occurred outside the German embassy in December 1938, staged by a Yorta Yorta Indigenous activist and trade unionist of the name William Cooper and his Australian Aborigines League, nearly a decade before the State of Israel's establishment. So Albanese lauded community figure Mark Labler and his principled advocacy for the voice, noting, I was moved recently by his reflections in the Australian Jewish News, which in his words, the story of the stand that William Cooper took on behalf of our people, and it hit me like a bolt of lightning. Then he said about the voice in general, if not now, when are we going to get this done? Albanese concluded. And just quickly, another big official visit was in Melbourne, happened with Premier Daniel Andrews last Wednesday when he visited the site of the Jewish Arts Quarter, which is about to be start construction very, very soon. Joining the Premier was a host of state MPs, in addition to Federal Member for McNamara, Josh Burns. The Future Centre's director, Gideon Klein, spoke of how the project is about the Jewish culture, but it's showcasing it in a way that it becomes a treasure for the entire community. And he said, I think what differentiates this proposal from many others is to create something that will be a real jewel in the crown for multiculturalism in Victoria. Impressed with the presentation, Premier Andrews said, it's so much more than each of its component parts. It will be a precinct that's active and vibrant and will be able to showcase the Jewish culture, faith, arts, music, food, and everything in between. He said, I very much look forward to being here to turn the soil and for the milestones thereafter from this centre.
And that's Premier Daniel Andrews and Prime Minister Anthony Albanese as guest speakers at some Jewish organizations and events in Melbourne. The next story is about a young Victorian woman who was awarded the Young Victorian of the Year, Madeleine Buchner. Tell us about that.
The founder and CEO of an organization, not-for-profit, called Little Dreamers, Madeleine Buchner, has been awarded the title of Young Victorian of the Year. It was announced last weekend. Expressing gratitude, she said, "I'm honoured and humbled to be named Young Victorian of the Year, and this award is a testament to the many young carers in our community who are working hard to balance their caring responsibilities with their studies, extracurricular activities and social lives." As the Young Victorian of the Year, she said, she'll be steadfast in her commitment to advocating for the needs of young carers and using her platform to bring attention to their experiences.
Mazel tov to Madeline Buchner.
In other news, in Tasmania, Tasmania has made history by becoming the first state in Australia to prohibit the Nazi salute. The new legislation has been passed by both houses of the Tasmanian Parliament, and the bill specifically bans public displays of the Nazi swastika and the Nazi salute. And while it still awaits a final reading in the upper house in August, this is expected to just be a formality. Switching over to councils in Sydney, Randwick City Council has voted to fly the Palestinian flag in November, despite five Liberal members, including Councillor Daniel Rosenfeld, opposing the move. And it was Greens Councillor Kim Chappell who put forward an amendment to the flying of flags policy at the council at its meeting last week, calling for the Palestinian flag to be raised outside Randwick Town Hall on November 29th, which is the United Nations International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. It follows Randwick Council's decision to fly the Israeli flag on Yom HaAtzmaut last April, a motion that was successfully introduced by Rosenfeld.
Okay, to finish off, Shane, tell us about the major conservation project at Rookwood Cemetery.
Yes, Rookwood Cemetery has begun a major conservation project for the oldest graves in its Jewish section, with funding provided way back in 2012 by the former Jewish Cemetery Trust. Fresh concerns have been raised about, quote, an absolute shocking lack of day-to-day maintenance in the Jewish section of the cemetery. With a budget of $150,000 per year for 10 years, the Jewish Monument Project scope includes identifying unmarked graves, fixing or replacing illegible inscriptions, and restoring or repairing weathered, damaged or vandalized old graves and monuments. So New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies cemetery spokesperson David Knoll welcomed this project's announcement. But he told the Jewish News after a recent inspection of the cemetery that much work lies ahead. He said, "We're very pleased that after considerable delay, this project is finally underway," adding he's impressed with the qualifications of the restoration experts. But he said the most important thing is that there is regular consultation throughout the year with him and also with the Sydney Sevra Kedisha. Now, on daily maintenance, quite briefly, a gentleman called Peter Bando, whose parents are buried at Rookwood, told the Jewish News that while the newer parts of the Jewish section are okay, he said the older parts are very run down and poorly maintained, and it's absolutely shocking. He said, "When I attended this year's Yom HaShoah service there, I saw litter everywhere, broken bottles, fallen branches, and there's a big drainage issue near John Saunders' grave, and it's very upsetting and not okay." Now, David Knoll said, "Frankly, the cemetery's management has dropped the ball badly on maintenance since 2020. The way to look after a cemetery is through management by walking around to deal with things. That's what is needed." Now, the good news is on July 1, a Crownlands merger of Rookwood, Northern and Southern Metro cemeteries came into effect. And David Knoll has scheduled a meeting with its CEO, Ken Morrison, for July the 2nd. And he said he's hopeful the issues can be resolved and that a new board and a multicultural advisory committee will soon be formed. Meanwhile, in better news, the Catholic Metropolitan Cemeteries Trust has confirmed that construction will resume on its 136,000-plot multi-faith new cemetery in MacArthur. in Sydney's southwest, and that's now on target to open in February 2025. So David Knoll said, this is good news because once it does open, there should be no more gap in the provision of new Jewish graves in Sydney, which has been a major concern for the last decade.
Shane Desiatnik from the Australian Jewish News with the latest news. Thanks and speak next week.
Yeah, my pleasure, Amit. Thanks. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.